What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Clocks Running, the podcast for everything flag football officials. I'm your host, Ant, and I'm here on the East Coast. I got my Philly cheesesteak shirt on, and the weather is beautiful out here. So I'm excited. I traveled 2,500 miles just to be here for this episode. So here we are. Big show planned. I just want to bring the guests on right away. So of course we got the legend himself, Petty Pat. What up?
What up, though?
All right, you got Dion in the background. Okay, I see what energy you on. All right. We got Lance from the worst coast. What up, Lance?
Wow, you make that move. This might be the last one here then.
Now you gotta hold it down for California till California right. Drops off into the ocean, right?
I don't have to hold anything down.
All right, cool. And then we got the dude that, from what I've heard, he invented draft tournaments. So here he is, Jacob. What up, Jacob?
What up?
That's what I've been told. I was told that you are the one that started draft tournaments. Is that true?
No, it's kind of like Chick-fil-A. You know, we didn't invent it. We just made it great. So
like Dario's, like Dario's, right?
That's right. There you go.
There you go. There you go. All right. Dario,
every time you put that shirt in the dryer, bro.
What happened?
How many times you go put that shirt in the dryer, bro? You're looking too big for that shirt,
bro. Hey, when you see me in person, you're going to be like, I like the workout that you've been up to,
man. I'm going to tell you, man, quit putting your clothes in the dryer. That's exactly what I'm going to tell you.
Hey, when you get a chance and you see the wife, ask her what she's doing with my clothes.
I'm going to tell her that immediately. Quit putting clothes in the dryer. Hey, he said you handle all the laundry.
Hey, the only thing that goes in the dryer is my underwear and my tank.
You're making them guns look too big.
They are.
Hey, Jacob, why is he always blaming his wife for everything?
She probably don't watch the show, that's why.
Call Chris a pet hack to eat. That's what I'm saying.
Let me. I'm gonna let her watch the beginning clip right here and see what she has to say.
you know she watch it as soon as we're done, right?
Oh, okay.
As soon as you upload it, it pops up on my own thing because I'm subscribed.
Hey, there we go. That's what subscribe. We need. This is... All right, cool. Let's get right into it. Jacob, I want you to start it off. Lance, you jump in when you'd like. Let's just talk about flag guarding, okay? Just give us a good rule review on it, Jacob.
Okay, so flag guarding is the act of the ball carrier denying a defender the opportunity to capture their flag in any physical way. The ball carrier should not flag guard by flailing arms, using hands, arms, elbows, extremely dipped shoulders to deny the opportunity of an opponent to remove a flag. That's what the rule book states is by definition. Any kind of movement or any kind of stiff arm or, you know, anything that takes away the opportunity for a defender to pull the flag is what we're looking for when we call flag guarding.
But ref, okay. I'm just running. What's the problem? I was just running.
Well, just my natural motion.
I was just
that's
running.
Right. Your natural
he
motion.
Hit my
that's
hand.
Fine. Change your natural motion.
Lance, good. Jump in, man. What are your thoughts? What do you see most with flag guard? What do players always say besides that they're just running? What do you got?
That they didn't do it, and when they didn't do it, and that either I'm picking on them or whatever, and like I have a vendetta against a certain player because I was called flag guarding. I'm like, well, there's a reason why I keep calling you specifically flag guarding because you don't understand the concept. So
yeah.
I think one of the challenges a lot of people have is outside of the running motion is especially for players that come from a tackle world. Your natural instinct is to, you know, push away or stiff arm or, bat hands down. And that's obviously a form of flag guarding. So that's why it's very, I don't want to say difficult, but the challenge for many tackle, coming from the tackle world, for players is that concept. And once they figure that piece of it out, it takes them a couple of times. They'll figure it out, but it does take a little bit for them to actually figure that piece of the game out.
Yeah, but Lance, when you're on the line of scrimmage, that's not your call, right? You can't call a flag guard from the line of scrimmage, can you?
If I see it, I call it. I don't care where I am on the field.
Okay, my bad. Pat, anything you want to add about flag guarding?
Hey, they made an excuse. That's my dip arm. That's the arm that I put down on the ground. I'm not flag guarding. I'm dipping. Bullshit. You're putting your hand down to avoid the defender from grabbing your flag, and your arm is straight down where your flag is at. Sorry, flag guard. It is what it is. But yeah, that's their main thing, especially these dippers when they come into contact football. I mean, non-contact, yeah, they're notorious for the flag guard. I'm dipping, I'm dropping my arm because to brace myself so I don't fall. Well, it's a flag guard, sir. But that's all I have when it comes into that flag guard situation.
Yeah, for sure.
Or that's not your angle.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, so Jacob, situation happens with a quarterback that likes to sidearm it, and they happen to, with the ball, with that sidearm motion, make contact with the rusher. What's your call? What's your judgment call on that?
Man, I think it kind of just, it depends. If they're truly throwing the ball and they've been throwing the ball like that all day, I'm gonna give it to them, right? I need to see that's actually what you consistently do. You're not gonna get that call, in my mind, if you're at the last second, just try to yeet the ball sidearm when you've been, have a normal traditional throwing motion. I'm gonna hit you with a flag guard if you do that. But if 98% of the passes you've been throwing have been, that goofy under sidearm thing where your arm's coming way down, then yeah, that makes sense. But it's all about judgment, and you're looking for consistency.
Lance, thoughts on that? You agree with what Jacob said?
It's all about what you see. And I will say that we always try and give the benefit of the doubt to the offensive player. Regardless, it's one of those. It's the nature of the beast. I think the one thing that we also have to consider is there's tendencies for some QBs or QBs or runners. They're making a move. They put their ball. They put the ball on their hip, and defender tries to pull a flag, and they knock the ball out. I mean, we're gonna go back to where we started because that's two penalties, one on either side. It's a flag guard plus an illegal touch. I'm just going to go back, and everyone's going to cry, but you just wasted, 45 seconds of just running around like an idiot. So I keep telling people, just when you're in traffic, put your hands up, hold on to the ball with two hands, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel like there was a period of time where everybody in flag was holding the ball up in front, and it seems like that's kind of gone. Pat, do you notice that it's just more of the dips that's created that, or why are people now just making it easier to call a flag guard?
I would say because they always want to say, the number one rule is nobody calls a strip. That'd be the biggest thing. Well, in our league, they don't call stripping, so when we push the ball out, they knock the ball out of our hand. So we bring the ball down to protect ourselves or the ball from being knocked out. But that's pretty much the only thing that I hear from the men and the women when it comes into that. But when going into the throwing motion, what Jacob said, only time I give them a benefit of the doubt, if the quarterback is like 5'3" or 5'4" and the rusher is like 6'4", and they have to throw the ball sidearm, I get it. You know what I'm saying? But when a quarterback is 6'4" and the rusher is 5'3" and you start throwing the ball sidearm, yeah, I'm not giving you that that call at all. You know what I'm saying? Because you're trying to draw, contact with the defender or whatever. So I like how Lance put it, and then I like how Jacob described it as well. But It'll always go off the quarterback height and the rusher. But now both same height and the quarterback, the rusher or defender arms are up in the air and the QB have to throw a sidearm, I get it. But when the rusher arms are down and you try to throw sidearm just to get the ball by the defender, yeah, you're trying to protect yourself or draw a foul on the defender. So it's a judgment call for me when I look at that situation.
So, Lance, now that you're slinging the rock on a weekly basis in your league, are you trying to use your lack of height to your advantage when the rusher's taller than you? You're trying to pull that get a roughing the passer call, or what do you do?
I've never decided to try to get a roughing. I'm more concerned about actually being able to throw the ball accurately. I don't care about – the one thing that I have learned is a lot of the guys are telling me don't worry about the rush. Go through your reads, throw the ball, and let it rip. Don't worry about the rush. The rush is going to come no matter what. If you have to make a move, you're going to hip it. Thankfully, I have people that are this is week two this past week. So I've only been full-time QB for 8 weeks, for 8 games. So I have no idea what I'm doing.
How far back are you taking snaps, Lance?
I'm only taking it 10 like to 12 seven. Yards. I'm like seven because we don't have – I'm one of the few that can actually snap at 10. So I can't really snap it myself. But I'm taking it seven. And I try, yeah. It's fun. It's learning. I think one of the neat things is being when we are in a 4-man crew and I get to stand behind QBs like a Nick, like a Rel, like a Mark, like a Trunky. I get to see what they see, and I'm like, throw the ball. I'm like, oh my god, that window's so open. Right? Do you see what they see? Because I'm literally staring at the rusher coming at them. I'm looking at their hips to make sure. If and when the flag is full, and I'm also looking at the release. At the same time, I get to see what they're seeing. It's actually really interesting, and that's probably the one thing that has enabled me to actually see things a little bit differently. But it's kind of fun.
I predict that by the end of this year, Lance will be in the Elite 11. What do you think, Jacob?
No.
For what?
For quarterback. He just said he's better than Trunky, than Nick, than Mark. He just said he was better than all of them.
Damn.
Never
said
call.
That.
I know a guy.
Can we petition? Can we, what do we do? Because he literally.
This will be taken care of. Say no more.
No.
Oh man. All right, cool. Well, let's move right along in the show. The next topic I want to bring up is the USA Flag Tampa tournament that was this past weekend. So, Jacob, just give me a recap of it. What did you love? What did you hate? What was exciting to watch? Let me hear it.
So, man, first of all, we partnered with OT7, and OT7 had their championships this past weekend in Tampa. We were at the same complex we do Worlds at. We only used part of the park because for the adults and for our youth side, it was actually a little bit on the smaller side, which was nice. But we got to, work with OT7. They had 12 teams. And they had – it was a Super Bowl. Man, it was incredible. We had on the youth side for 7-on-7 high school, the girls, we had some good football for – I think we ran an OT7 division ourselves, which was, I think, like 5 or 6 teams. It was fun. It was good to see. I think our 15U team went and had an exhibition game in the main field. And then our adults – the majority were rec division teams, but it was good to see. I mean, it was good football. Officials, that was something nice. I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna call them out on it. USA flag officials were in better uniform than the OT7 guys. And we were, you know, those were the guys that were on NFL Network. I saw guys over there wearing gray shoes, you know, not wearing belts, little things like that. You know, and those were supposed to be the top dogs. But hey, anyways, so, our guy, I made a point to, you know, talk to our folks and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. If you're not going to do this, you're not going to work. And, we, you know, they came ready to work. So, I definitely appreciate that. It was a short, simple weekend, man. There weren't many issues. We can get into the issues if you want. We can talk about.
Hey, get messy, Jacob. Let's get messy.
Come on.
Jacob. That's what we do.
Y'all know about youth flag football?
Yes. Yes.
Lance, what am I getting ready to say?
I know exactly where you're going, and I'll just let you.
The parents, bro, they suck.
Of course.
Awful, man. Absolutely awful. And you know, it's they won't let the kids play. They want to be a part of it. We have guidelines and rules and things in place to make it a safe, fun environment for them to play and do well. They want to make their own rules. They want to do their own thing. We had a coach that we ended up – or not coach, take it back, a fan, take his shirt off and try to go after a coach, and you're gone, bro. Have a good weekend. Go watch your kid from the parking lot. we had several parents at the end of a division team. The team won, and the kids were just as bad as the parents, man. Like, you know, just poor sportsmanship, cussing at the other team, cussing at the other parents, like, you know, acting like they never won before.
Well,
they had a team a couple years younger that lost in the playoffs, and it was the ref's fault. It wasn't their fault. Kid was 3 yards over the line of scrimmage, threw a pass. It was a legal forward pass. The coach said, well, that's impossible. He started in shotgun. I said, what does that mean? You know, they're screaming at us saying that the ref's costing them the game, but, you know, never mind. There's no accountability for these kids and their actions. So, yeah, man, I mean, like I said, overall, great tournament. It was very smooth. You know, the adult, I don't really want to talk about adults because there wasn't much that happened. Adults, we were in, we were out. You know, I was running, I think I had 4-man crews on adults almost the entire weekend. It was short and sweet. That was something else too. You know, it was nice. We had a smaller tournament. We had a fair amount of officials. So we were able to run 4-man mechanics, 3-man mechanics, the majority, almost the entire time.
Lucky.
So, as far as the parents and youth go, what's the accessibility to officials specifically in this past weekend? I know that NFL Network was involved with OT7, but how about with the youth side? Were all the parents allowed to be on the sidelines, or how did that all work?
So, the way this is kind of the way USA Flag's policy is, parents are allowed 7 yards off of each end zone to spectate from. And then if their field's on the outer edge, they're allowed to be 7 yards off of that edge as well. But if their fields are the in between, you know, because we run 3 to 4 fields, if their field's any of those middle fields, they can't be on any of the sidelines. You're allowed 3 coaches on the sideline. They have to have a wristband to identify them. And if they don't have that wristband, they've got to get off the field.
So this dude came from like the parking lot and took his shirt off and ran onto the field, or how did that?
This guy was sitting in the end zone.
Oh, okay.
You know, it, 25 yards away, I can still yell at you and you can hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So he started yelling at a coach. Coach yelled back. Man, jumped up, took his shirt off, and was ready to rumble right there. And it's like, no, sir, we're not doing that here. Have a good one. He left. But, you know, ultimately, like I said, man, it's parents wanting to be involved and live vicariously through their kids and not accept the fact that they're, you know, working at the Dollar General and not playing football anymore, you know. You know, all reality, I don't know what people do. I don't know what people's lives are. But, you know, all walks of life try to do this and they try to live through their kids. And, man, it's just – it's so bad. Let your kid enjoy their life. Let them enjoy the game. Let them figure it out for themselves. You know, obviously you need coaching, you need the tools there, but let them figure some things out. You know, they miss a flagpole. Let them be frustrated with themselves. Don't get frustrated and say, oh, well, they missed it because of, you know, he flag guarded 5 yards down the field and the kid, you know, is running with his hands on his head. So,
I got to call my cousin after this show and apologize to him. He works at Dollar General, so I don't know why he's no judging.
But, Dollar General, anyway. Work, but I mean, you get my point. Like, these people they've had their chance to, you know, in youth sports to play and to, you know, do things. And now that they're adults, you know, instead of coming out, they can come out there to the adult side and play. You know, because that's where we say that grown men, you know, come out there and pay to argue with officials instead of play football. But on the flip side, you know, on the youth side, they're arguing for these kids that aren't even arguing. They just want to play. Most of the time, they don't even know what's going on. There's a penalty. Okay, mark it. Let's keep going. They, you know, they see it. And they're like, okay, move on. Mom and dad, you know, three rows back are going, what in the world's a hold? So,
Jacob, I might be wrong for it, I'm like 2 months back because I did it in Richmond, but when we had that situation, I called the referee timeout, and I said, talked to the crowd, I said, hey, I said, granddad, uncle, whoever you are, if you want to referee the game, go talk with Jacob. He's go to the tent, walk over to the tent and ask for Jacob on the radio. And I'll bring you a black and white shirt and you can help me referee the rest of this game or let my official do the game. His wife told him, shut the hell up. Because I told him, I told the coaches, I said, hey, your fans can also be a sideline penalty as well. So you might want to talk to your fans. And I was like, this is a warning for both sidelines. I had no problems else. After the whole time after that in Richmond. But I totally get what you're saying because we had one dude knew all the rules and not get one right.
That's most of the time. They think they know it all and they don't. You know, the end of Sunday, the biggest issue we had parents that, and it's a championship game, so I get people are excited and people emotions are running high, but you know, they're right there on the end zone line. You know, we're asking them to back up. We're trying to get them, you know, away because God forbid little Timmy catches a touchdown pass and runs through and runs grandma over. Here we are. We've got an issue. Player potentially hurt. Grandma's potentially hurt all because they don't want to listen. Or if something happens on the field, you know, then what happened? You know, let's say there's a unnecessary ruptures or something like that. All of a sudden some parents right there and they run on, you know, there's no way for us to catch or deflect or do anything like that. There's no reaction time, but you know, that was something else. You know, we're telling them to back up. We're trying to be nice about it at first. And you know, we're trying to be polite. We're trying to keep people in check and they're not listening. They're not respecting what we're asking. And then, when you start being a little less tactful, then you're a problem. Then you're the villain. And frankly, y'all know me, I don't have any problem being the villain. I'll tell anybody to have a blessed day and go to the parking lot. But yeah, it's just a bad look, man. It's again, we're doing youth sports. You know, there's such a great thing going. You know, we're building in the right way with USA Flag for youth. Already trying to compete with, you know, NFL Flag and, you know, some of the others. But when you have stuff like this happen, it deters people because not only do you lose that team that you just kicked out if you kick a team out. But you also lose potentially other teams who'd say, "Nah, I don't want to deal with that mess anymore," because they might come back, and if they're there, we're definitely out. So if you know, you can't grow when you have problems like that.
Yeah, definitely. I would say when I was officiating youth in Orange County, there is a very entitled kind of culture out in Orange County, and not only that, but I mean, really the parents were allowed to do basically everything, talking about the accessibility to the field. I mean, they had all of their coolers and chairs and everything lined up right on the sideline, not even having the ability to be on the sideline, having to be on the field. And yeah, I mean, you don't even know who you're talking to, which coach it is, because there's six coaches for some reason. And and a lot of issues like that. I mean, I just remember a team out of San Diego that there were two coaches, and every single time I officiated their team, the first play, if it did not go their way, it didn't matter if it had anything to do with a penalty or anything at all, they're immediately screaming at the officials. And that is the tone that they set every single game. And I officiated them probably 20 times, you know, over a year and a half period of time. Well, what I started to see was the players were following suit. And so now they're not worried about the fact that, you know, they dropped the pass or they missed a flag. Immediately they get up and they're screaming at the official. So what I started to do was I started to flag the kids. And I, you know, you're not going to speak to me that way. Unfortunately, right. This is how it goes, you know, and the coaches just continue to hoot and holler and scream and all this stuff. And I had a game where this team just got blown out. It wasn't even close. I think the other team had put up, it was pool play, so there was no limit. They put 40 up on them before half. Naturally, that was all my fault. And, but the team that was winning, the players did not, they didn't celebrate a touchdown. They didn't make any, they weren't trash talking at all. They just simply just, they would score on the first play of the drive. Then they would get an interception. They would score again over and over and over again. And it's funny because the coach was probably either still in high school or fresh out of high school and young guy. And I went up to him afterwards and I'm like, hey man, I appreciate the culture you're building with this. You know, because that's what youth sports is.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
I was gonna say one thing to kind of feed off of that a little bit, and I think you guys can agree with me. I would much rather be on a field with adults that are cussing at me than coaches that are whining.
Yeah,
I can't do anything about a coach that's whining. When someone cusses at me, I have something I can do. I can take care of that. You know, but the whining and the complaining and, you know, that we were at a youth league a few weeks ago and here in Winston, Jordan and I, and this coach, man, this coach is walking the sideline. His team's getting blown out, but he's screaming for the director every two plays, you know, and it's constantly, it's just, damn, man, 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 man. And I'm like, I walked up to the guy and I was like, bro, I said, I can't do this. I said, just tell him to cuss at me or something. I said, because if he cusses at me, I can react. I can do something. I said, I can't do anything with him just whining because he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's setting a bad – it's like you say, he's setting a bad precedent for the kids. The kids start doing it, and they think it's okay, you know. And if you're going to breed that culture, then you shouldn't be a part of youth sports or, you know, anything like that where you're expected to be a role model.
For sure. Lance, up in the Bay, how have you seen youth sports? I don't know how long Law's been doing it up there, but are you involved in that youth organization with Law at all? Or?
So let me put some context from this past weekend first. The one thing that I noticed was there were, I want to consider, three levels of parents. There's the casual, they're there for the kids. They kind of don't understand what's going on, but they're rooting positively for the kids. Those are the parents that you really want. Then there are ones that are like, they're cheering. They think they know the sport. And then if they see something, they're yelling at they're yelling at us to make a call. And then there's the extreme that Jacob referred to, where there's the people that are, they think they know everything and yet they don't. So putting it in context, that's kind of how I put those three levels of parents and coaches.
The top tier being the Dollar General employees, right?
I didn't say that. You got to stop putting words on. Did you? You can go back over the recording. I've never said that.
You'll never use General again, Jacob.
Hey, you know what? I guarantee you, there are some people in tech jobs that are very much the same way.
Just as bad.
Just as bad. Or even, actually, I would consider
watch
them
out.
Worse because
I'm a tech guy. Watch your mouth, Lance. I'm a tech guy.
I'm saying,
so is it.
No. What I'm saying is, from suburbia, I think they're even worse.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Anyways, to answer your questions on It's not as bad. I think so. United Sports just started doing youth, NFL youth. They had two sites this past season. In the fall, they're going to bump that up to eight sites out here in the Bay Area. It wasn't as bad in terms of extremes. We still had a couple coaches where, and I get what they're doing is they're actually trying to protect the kids the way they were sort of acknowledging some of the things that either we weren't or were not calling. So they were, it was more protecting on the kids, like roughing the QB, you know, rusher hits the arm. And I totally get that, you know, totally understand that piece of it. I've done a couple of warnings where, to your point, Jacob, where the kid roughly like 9 or 10 was emulating the coach because the coach was super demonstrative, lots of foul language. And I'm like, dude, mm-hmm. you're yelling at this. And the 9 and 10 year old is yelling it at me at the same time. Where's the parent? Because if it was my parent, I'd be all like, let's go. We're done. Yep. Cause there's no point in that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't have that extreme yet. And I hope, you know, knock on wood, I hope that we don't get to that extreme. I get it. They're passionate. They want the teams and their kids to succeed, but there's a good way to do it and there's a bad way to do it. And what we saw towards the end of Sunday was the extreme bad way. I mean, we had parents and kids from one team wanting, you know, they're flexing against the losing team.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I remember this one kid. What was it? 14U?
I think so. Yeah.
It's 14U. So, you know, they got some drip. Great. They got a necklace. And I think Cassie does a great job with that. He's literally walking past them as they're packing up the losing team and pointing to his chain. And he's going, see what I got. You don't got this. And I'm not going to go into the expletives that he threw out, but I'm like, you're a 14-year-old. There's no, what are you doing, dude?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just, that to me is a reflection on the parent.
Did you see the signs?
Yeah. Oh.
They were running up holding these giant signs. Like I forget. They had like little dumb little catchphrases on it or whatever, but they're running up to the losing team, holding these signs up, pointing to them. And you know, there was a point where one of the directors, I'm not going to say names because it's neither Lance nor me, but made the comment, he said to these teams, he's like, you know, to the winning team, we're not going to give you your awards if you guys keep this up. And they stopped for about 30 seconds and then they started right back up again, you know, and I almost wish we would have pulled the plug. This is my personal opinion, because all we're doing is when
promoting.
We're saying that's okay. We're condoning that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're saying no, but it's okay. You know, and I don't know. I don't like that, you know, sportsmanship, you know, yes, there's trash talking. Absolutely. And I encourage it. It's part of the game. It makes things fun. It makes it a good time. But there's lines, you know, keep it football, keep it on the field, and show some class. Win with grace, lose with grace, you know, and a lot of people, adults can't do it. Youth, you know, and then we're teaching youth not to do it.
How do you think that OT7 is kind of falling into that with all of their theatrics and everything?
It's a slippery slope, man.
Don't slip on that slope.
I think it's fun. It's fun for the kids. They encourage, you know, they want the over-the-top celebrations. They want, you know, they want the kids to have, and it's them having a good time. And I think there's an understanding from what I saw, you know, this over the last weekend. And Lance, I think you can kind of, maybe you can attest to it. I don't know if you noticed or not. They didn't have any fights.
Nope.
You know, they didn't have any, we didn't hear anything, you know, on that side. The only thing we could hear was freaking the Mario ding and that for every game. Do what?
You thought you was in Camel City with Larry.
The thing was, it's a DJ doing it every time with the actual thing. Yeah. Every time somebody scored, something goes off. Every time, you know, they get a first down, something goes off. It was just a constant thing. And, you know, it was a really cool thing. And I'm sure it's cool for those kids when they're playing that game, because they only play like two or three games a day. When you hear it 18 games, it wears on you a little bit.
So they gave him like arena type, stadium type theatrics.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. That's dope.
Yep. They had it fenced off for them. Nobody but the teams and the coaches were, and staff had access to the fields. And they had security at every point to make sure that nobody got in on the field. They also have a very heightened awareness of, you know, the potential for fights and things like that. So much that we were on Friday night speaking with the owner briefly, just introducing ourselves and kind of having a little introductory. They were in the last minute of one of the games, and he's constantly turning his head back, you know, and he's like, "Hey, sorry." I said, no, you're good. I said, "I understand what you're doing." I said, "You're making sure no one's going crazy out there." And it's exactly that. He's, you know, they're all very aware of, you know, the fact that some kids' emotions can get the best of them and they can pop off. So there's, I think done properly and the mentality set for these kids. I think also the fact, like with OT7, a lot of those kids are 5-star recruits. So they understand that if they screw up, you know, their college scholarships are on the line.
Yeah.
So I think they're taking, you know, the fact that, hey, if I get, you know, head top pause, you know, it's not the end of the world. Just, you know, other kids going to celebrate. We're going to move on. You know, if something happens, let them celebrate, move on. When I do something good, I'm going to celebrate and we're going to move on. And I think that's where we lack in the adults, especially.
Is
people can't acknowledge that there's a self-celebration happening, and people can't say that they keep it to themselves and celebrate to themselves or to their team. You know, that's where we see a lot of the fights, and a lot of the flip gets switched, where the second you look at a defender and say, or call him a bitch or whatever, you know, then it's game on.
Yeah. You know, I would say in the handful of sevens tournaments that I did the last couple years, there really weren't many fights at all. But the trash talk is extremely excessive, and there's a lot of theatrics. I mean, literally, you get head topped, and the entire team is coming around that kid going like this in their face, and nothing happens. It just moves on. But there is, because of how quick the game is, how you score on every drive, you know, either way, that other team is bringing their offense on, and you can't spend too much time trash talking. There is nothing, absolutely nothing that's going to stop that clock, and it is continuing to run. So I would say that it is kind of a little bit of like just this understanding. Yeah, go ahead and trash talk, and then we're just going to score on you. We'll just keep going. There were a couple tournaments that I did where they didn't do a good job of regulating who was on the sideline, and that's when fights would start to get, or, you know, something would start to get out of control. Is it would be somebody's uncle or somebody's grandpa that had been drinking too much, and he sees his, you know, his relative get head topped, and then he wants to start saying stuff on it. Oh, you can't do that to my, you know, this or that. And that's where things would get out of control. So I think the players have a lot more to lose, because they do have a future in, you know, in football. They are looking for scholarships and everything like that. The other thing I want to bring up is, from my understanding of how you explain this, it sounds like this is exactly what me and Joe talked about last week, that should be done with having a clock visible, having the championship so I, you know, me and Joe got a lot of flack for this, but I just want to bring this up right now. If OT7 can pull it off and their national championship was a wrap field, it was protected, you saw the clock, there was all this going on, and what, they had two-man crews, right? Or did they have more?
They only had six.
They had six officials on the field, a seventh running the clock.
And they only had one field, right?
Huh?
Only one field.
They only had one field.
Yes.
So they could do that. Yeah. Not 18 fields.
They had I'm telling you, man, they had – okay. So OT7 staff for this tournament for one field was bigger than USA Flag's national staff for Worlds. For one field, 12 teams, bigger staff than what we run our Worlds with 1,000 teams. So, I look, man, you got me all tizzy.
There we go. Get messy, Justin. Get messy, Jacob. Let's go.
Look, man, at the end of the day, I don't like having the clock on the field. There's too many variables. There's too many things that can happen. And there's too much of an inconsistency with officials to run that. Lance would 1,000% be perfect to have somebody who understands what Lance is doing on the field to run a clock, for him not to run the clock and to have a clock on a scoreboard. Another official, you know, if we had to put somebody else on that field, you know, that we don't know, that they're not, there's not a confidence that they could give us the proper signals. They can tell us exactly what to do. So we could keep the game perfect. Majority of the time, clock's running, right? We get to that pro clock, that's when it would 1,000% be an issue.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no. And I say it happens.
I get it.
Yeah.
You know, and when I first started running a league, that was one of the big things I wanted to do, was I spent hours trying to find a scoreboard that had a clock that I could run manually and have like a little like remote.
Yeah.
And they're like $2,000. I'm like, I'm not investing that much money in that. So. Now, the more I've done this, the longer I've been around it, definitely it's just easier to have it on the field, have your white hat, have control of the clock, have them, you know, talking to the players, communicating. It's like we talk about every meeting and every time we get on the field, guys, it's communication. The more you communicate, the better off these teams are, and they're fine with that.
Yeah. Lance, correct me if I'm wrong, but for the Continentals last summer, you know, was that communication with the person that was running the big giant jumbotron? Did that work out, especially when it became a stop clock? No, not at all. It was very, very, very challenging.
You don't, because the problem is you don't have someone running the clock that isn't official per se. You have someone that's just hitting a button. So even still, when we do high school tackle, we're all like, I actually, like, as back judge, I'm the backup clock. So I'm actually running, and basically my white hat will just ask me, hey, are we even close? Because, yeah, we're off by like 7 seconds, so we're good. But that's the problem, is we're asking them to understand signals, location of the ball, where you are in terms of situation, down in distance, all the other fun stuff. That's not their job. Like, you need to have, in reality, then that's a fifth ref, Jacob. That's a fifth ref. That actually understands clock management. That is kind of the important part. And we, you know, that's never going to happen. So
right. Yeah. And the reality, like, all right, so let's take our situation at Worlds, right? The reality would be, if we got to a championship game and we were to use that, you know, it would be Lance and whoever we had on that field for that crew. And it would probably be me in the booth trying to run the clock, because your resources, you think,
I love it.
The whole park has to continue to run. You know, what makes sense? You have the official director work with that. And, you know, what if, God forbid, I get pulled off in the middle of the game? Then all of a sudden we got to go from, we're at 8 minutes left in the first half, clock all of a sudden stops and everyone goes, huh? People would lose, you know? So I think it's very feasible.
Yeah. No, definitely. And I had, I did have like a live broadcast situation with the Tough League, where they were doing like their, you know, they were doing a tournament that was live on YouTube, and there was someone in the booth that was told 5 minutes before the game started, hey, if you see somebody go like this, you stop it. If you see someone go like this, you keep it going. And she was constantly in my ear asking questions. So, like, a team scored, and then we're on the other drive where the team's going the other way, and she's in my ear saying, did they score one or two? Was that this? Was it? And, you know, all these things. And so it became very confusing for me, where I just finally was like, mine's not working. I think my battery's dead. You know, so no, I get it completely, Jacob. I don't know. I just like the theatrics of OT7, and I know it's
definitely.
You know, it looks so cool, you know, and just to have all that. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe the men aren't ready for it. Maybe it's something that down the road, you know, the up-and-coming youth and the next generation of flag football, maybe they can manage better. But, yeah, I think the pro men players right now, that it would cause so many more issues. Like, It's not gonna get better.
It stop it here. It's supposed to run here. What are we doing to this? Why are we not running? Yeah, I'm not.
I think like we can cover half. Like, what's the other thing people ask for? Well, what's the score?
Yes.
Hey, like, look, there's the score. There.
Scoreboard would be great.
Like, yeah, I get it for championship. We post it on the board, and if you want to have a live video feed, I don't care. Or you want to do something
that would be cool.
You keep the score. Yes, but not the clock.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that would definitely be.
You just get one of those little flips, you know, with the points and
something. I have one.
No. I bet you won't bring it for the draft. Because, hey, who's flipping it? Not me.
Me.
You're right. Jacob.
After every touchdown and flip it.
We gotta go.
I gotta get
oh man. Okay. All right. So let's keep it moving. We talked a lot more about Tampa than I expected, but we're good. Lance, I just want to ask you this question. As far as sevens goes, there are so many versions of sevens. Do you have any explanation of that? I mean, there's NERSA, there's AFFL, there's Screen, there's OT7 with Passing League. There's just so much going on. Any explanation of why that is?
No, because we don't have it here, so I don't care. No, we have high school sevens. We do have high school sevens out here. I get asked to try and work those games, and I'm either traveling for USA Flag or I'm doing something else. And it's, but it's just, it's the same thing with respect to people thinking that their rule set, or they can make a better rule set versus anyone else. So they try to tweak it to over tweaking. And I'm like, well, why would you change that? It's kind of like we take these rules and use them. Yeah, there's a lot of formats, and now with high school sevens, which is different than sevens flag for high school girls is different than sevens boys, which is touch, which is different than sevens screen that USA flag runs, which is different than sevens AFFL runs. So, yeah, I have a headache just thinking.
Which is different than OT7, which is different than sevens. Yeah, different than NERSA
sevens,
which is nurses are different than nurses. Yeah, man, it's this. I will say that this past weekend with sevens and Lance, I think only had to really work. You only worked what, the adult seven screen on Sunday?
Sunday, and I helped out the last two games on Saturday, just because of the.
That's right. Yeah.
Helping them support them. But yeah.
Uh-huh. So, you know, we ran three different sets of rules for sevens, and we almost ran a fourth for one game because we had the adult screen, we had our youth seven screen, which we basically just kind of compounded the two of those into one. The girls were used to playing NERSA rules. We said, hey, it's essentially going to be the same thing. We run halves instead of quarters. And then we had the OT7. We had our own OT7 style. It's just a lot to keep up with, and fortunately we have good enough officials that they can keep up with everything we're doing. So
yeah. Lance, is there a one in particular you prefer that you like as an official, or you don't play sevens at all, do you?
I don't play sevens, and I don't I don't do enough sevens to actually comment.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like Jacob said, we I helped out late afternoon Saturday on sevens, and then we did playoffs and championship with sevens on Sunday, and like that ran super smooth. Like I was all like, we're in and out. I kind of wanted to say, Jacob, what's the problem? I don't understand what the problem is. We're gonna go. Let's go. So,
but there was no problem. I had you run it.
Like, what's the problem here? We're gonna finish on time, so we're good. So,
yeah. So speaking of problems, I want to bring Pat in and talk to us about Eights Women's Contact. I know that you've been busy with that lately, so just fill us in about how things have been going with that.
Well, I just want to say thank God the season is damn over. Shit. So this weekend we did the Eight Women's Contact playoffs up in Durham. And I would say it was eventful. You had a lot of upsets. You had some teams that I'm not going to say that they was playing possum or keeping some of their best plays for the playoffs. But they actually did, and they showed up when the time was necessary. The only issues that I would say I had at the beginning, but I was blessed to have a 4-man crew instead of a 3-man crew, which I allowed it to the captains and the coaches before the game, each game. I briefed them on as far as things that wasn't probably seen in the regular season will be caught during this game. The referees had no dog in this fight. We're here to officiate a game and give you all a fair opportunity to play. And we got a zero tolerance for any disrespect to any of the officials. That goes for the coaches and the players and also the fans. We had a pretty good day, solid day, besides the 93-degree heat. But we had a pretty solid day. But my big take from, I would say, it goes almost back to the youth. You have a lot of these men coaches that are trash. And I'm gonna be straight up honest. You have some really great players that are really good, but you have some trash ass coaches that wanna be coaching women, and you can tell by the product of the team. The team is a direct reflection of the coach, and they don't understand that. Granted, I was coaching women's 3 years ago, and like I told you, the team that won the championship was the team that I coached 3 years ago. Haven't been around these women forever. But the issue is the team is a well-oiled machine. But you have some teams that coaches can't even win at all. And they have an issue with the officiating being great. Or they don't have a clue of what the calls or what the foul is. And they think it's supposed to be something totally different than what their eyes or what they see. So, you know, I had Baker, you know, brought Baker in. I had Justin. And then I had one of my guys, Korn, you know, controlling the line. I had Baker as my, as far as my deep wing / short wing. I had Korn watching the line. And I had my guy, young guy, Justin, as my / back judge. And we did an outstanding job covering all issues. And the white hat all next to the quarterback and protecting the quarterback only. So, but things that I did see that I didn't see in the regular season, I couldn't catch the hands to the face. I couldn't catch as far as the holding call. We couldn't catch some of these things because we was only three officials and we couldn't see everything, but we caught everything. And the coaches, man, that's home cooking. Mind you, I stay in Fayetteville, North Carolina. You have a Fayetteville team telling me I'm giving a Durham team home cooking, but my referee stays in Winston-Salem. So that was the biggest issue. But you also had the coaches or the sideline saying some radical things about the officiating and these type of, oh, the officials don't know what they're calling, but they don't even know the rule. And then when it goes down to, when I say blocking, blaming the referees, how can you blame the official if my back judge gives me my signal because, like I've been working on with as far as on my hand and signals with my officials. My official gave me the signal for 9 on the field as far as in the back on the defense, on return team, on the punt.
the offense for the kick punting team kicked the ball off. 9 players on the kickoff return. I mean, punt return. They get mad because they get caught. The team, which is an organized team, goes down to score after they get caught with the 9 players on the field. They mad at the officials because they did a bad job as far as the coaches. You didn't do your job. You didn't put us in the right personnel out there. You didn't count the personnel out there. You didn't even practice having a punt return team. How can you get mad at the officials? But when it came down, we didn't have any fights. We had almost had a little small snippet. It was like a little poodle trying to fight a Great Dane. And the little girl was just swinging. And thank God this woman was that much bigger than her and was like, hey, get her before I crush her. You know, like when a big dog tells you to get the little dog off you before you crush her? It was like that, but I had to eject her from the game. You know, the head coach was asking me, why did you eject her out of the game? She was throwing haymakers that wasn't connecting. That's why she got ejected out of the game.
Just because they don't land don't mean they weren't thrown.
Exactly. Now, if she would have hit this girl, she probably be bruised the hell up, and it would have been a melee. But the biggest thing that I go off on that is protecting the quarterback, and I go with Lance. I protect the quarterback all day, and I always tell the QBs, hey, when you get ready to pass the ball, I know you want to protect yourself at all times. You want to fade away and throw the ball and whatever you want to do. But don't throw the ball off one leg falling down. It's hard for me to make that call unless that player really runs through you like Bill Goldberg. It's kind of hard to make that call. It's for it to give you a rough in the passer. But you have the coaches on the sideline that don't see it. They all they see is they quarterback on the floor. So they get mad and get upset. But shout out to, like I said, the teams that did make it to the championship game. One team that drove from D.C., they played against New Era in the championship. It was a fair game. And, like, you know the rule, Jacob. You don't put a little dog in the trenches when you got 3 big pick bulls sitting there waiting for you. You don't do it. They're going to get mauled. That's exactly what's going to happen. So all the teams that actually faced the New Era that won a championship, they had a big lineup, and they had players that executed. But the teams that wanted to cry and say that, well, the referees are getting home cooking, this and that, they didn't assess themselves. I think probably when they go back and watch the film and they see that, hey, we could have did a better job as a coach. Well, some of them can't. But they could have did a better job as a coach and made better calls, better formations. They'll realize that, hey, you can't blame the guys on – you can't blame the officials because your player threw the ball 10 yards past a wide open wide receiver.
No, they won't. But, of course they're going to blame you.
But the wide receivers, I didn't see her get held as she was taking off on her route.
That's your fault, too.
Pat,
you got to be better, man. Okay, let's just tighten up, all right? So, Lance, I want to bring you in on this. Do you think – I know athleticism, of course, is something that, you know, differentiates the great teams between the good ones, but do you think in the women's game that how big of a factor are the coaches? I hear Pat talking about the difference between a well-oiled machine and the coaches is doing this and the team just continue to win. Do you think that coaches play a huge factor in the women's game?
I'm going to be shocked if he doesn't use the example I'm thinking of.
Honestly, if I was to say from 0 to 10, like 0, no impact, 10, huge impact, I'd say like 5. I think they help in terms of providing some input. I know where you're going with that, Jacob, and I'm not going to say it. It's still the players in terms of like executing and actually putting together a good drive down the field. I think what good coaches, especially in actually any coach, is basically saying, hey, providing suggestions and saying, hey, calm down, you're fine. Being that calming factor, because everyone's going to be running around. Everyone's going to be just jumping up and down in terms of, like, you know, trying to hustle and do what they need to do. But I think coaching in the adult world is more about, like, providing good direction, because players are going to play. But I think from a coaching perspective, yes, they have some impact, but they won't win you a game. I don't think.
Okay, so Lance, you don't think that the reason OBB has been winning recently is because they got rid of that coach that they had on the sideline for a bit?
I'm not going to even go there, but no, because they have really good players, and they have IQ that's above and beyond. They have really good players. They have two outstanding wide receivers. Lacey's just going to ball, so they're fine.
Yeah, I'm not on social media, so if someone makes a meme or a GIF about me, it's okay. It doesn't bother me at all. I'll never see it. So, Jacob, what was the team you were going to mention that Lance decided not to?
No, don't say it. Don't say it. I know what you – no, don't
well,
say
it. Just move on. Next time. Huh? Wait, okay. No, maybe we're talking about two different things. Huh?
I was thinking about someone else.
Oh, hey, so I'm thinking about this past weekend.
Oh, no, I'm be messy. About this.
I'm trying to be I'm messy. Talking we about... need these ratings to go up. Be messy.
Hold up. Wait, when were you talking about?
I was talking about when we were in where the hell were we last? No,
San
before
Antonio?
Tampa. Yeah.
San Antonio.
Do we have issues?
No, we didn't have issues. I'm just saying – I'm thinking of player coaches and a team. And to go to Ant's question about how much of an impact does a coach play on a team, whether or not they're successful or not?
We'll talk after this. I was gonna brag on the – so we had a team come out this past weekend. The quarterback was a senior in college.
She was awesome. That team was awesome.
Right. And that's what I mean. That's where I was going.
Oh.
And the rest of the team were all college freshmen. And these girls, they made it to the championship, and they played Lady Venom, and they lost by what, like 3 or 4?
8-6. They lost 8-6. So They had no coach.
Yep. They didn't have the right flags.
They didn't have the right flags. A parent had to go buy flags for them. They didn't have right. This is a third tournament together as a group. Most of them are from Georgia. Just worked. And I was all like, wow. And we're like, come play, keep playing. You're so close. So close. And I hope they go to Nashville, because I want to see them play. They're so
absolutely
good.
Absolutely. You know, and the thing is, Lady Venom, they came to play too. They were both of those teams. I can't remember what the other team's name was. It's
Team T Squared. No,
something like that. But yep. Both teams through pool play and through bracket play were going. They were running through everybody. I don't think they had a single game go to a pro clock except for that championship. I think coaches matter. I think coaching matters. I think positive, productive coaching matters. That's to Pat's point and to Lance's point. There's a ton of toxic, washed up players that think that, oh, I can't play any. I couldn't hash it as a player. I'll go coach.
True.
But yeah, a lot of people who are toxic to the game and they use it as a power trip, and they want to be in control of people, and it's not good. You know, and a lot of times they get around incredibly talented people and they diminish their talent. I think there was a team on the West Coast that had a bad coach. And now they don't play with – I don't want to name names. but they don't play with a coach or any the leadership is within the women, and they do really well. You know, there's some teams that sure they it's not that they need it. They work better with it. That the group of people does. And it's all about who you have. There's eight contact teams that play with coaches. There's eight contact teams that don't. There's five contact teams that play with coaches. And, you know, and that goes for every format. You look at the U.S. men's national team. You have two of the brightest minds. I'll never tell them to their face, Pat and George. You have two of the brightest minds standing on the sideline in your ear for everything. You know, it's, and that's with the best players in the world. So if they're using it and they're utilizing those things, it's got to be good for, you know, for everybody. If that's used properly.
Yeah. I remember in Tampa, Lance, when we were doing sevens, that Canadian team they surprised everybody in the playoffs. And if they had had better athletes that could have competed with OBB, they might have had a chance in the championship because they beat everybody else. And I think a lot of it had to do with just Jacob, what you're saying, the production that was, it was positive. They were encouraging on the sideline. They were very clear about, you know, their plays. I mean, and those coaches were young. You know, I know there's another Canadian team that the one coach is a little older, and he can be a little toxic on the sideline from time to time.
I wouldn't throw him in that boat necessarily.
No, absolutely. I will take him as a coach over a bunch of these guys.
Yeah. That's because you guys don't speak French.
No.
Well, neither do you.
Neither do you. But, like, he'll get on you being a ref or a player, but then he knows how to calm it down, and then he says, okay, no problem. Easy. Like, he just wants to understand what you saw. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll say, no illegal contact? I'm like, no, because of this. He goes, all right, fine, perfect, move on, next play.
Right.
Yep, that's exactly how he
is. And I loved, and, like, I met him in Tampa 2 years ago, and then I got to work all the IFAF material last summer, and he was always there. And like, I love just watching him watching his team prepare, play. Was always super professional, and I enjoyed work. Those are the teams I don't mind taking my time to explain versus all these other dummies who are like, all right, you just need to shut up so we can go.
Mm-hmm. We gotta go.
Gotta go.
Lance, Jacob, I appreciate you guys both ducking the smoke and not naming names. You know, Pat, I know I can count on you to be able to say exactly what's on your mind, so I appreciate that, Pat.
Oh my god.
Jacob,
you know, hey, I told you, I don't duck smoke. All I do is bring smoke.
I'm pretty sure I've spoke my mind tonight. than I normally do.
I don't know what
okay, all right,
you got
all
to right. Jacob, but man, Jacob. I've known Jacob some years, so I don't know. This is a different Jacob right here. He may hang around.
All right, cool. All right, well, let's keep that momentum going, Jacob, and bring us right into the Camel City draft. And do you have the captains already, or tell us where we're at with things?
So right now we're at 11. We've announced 11 of the 12 captains. We wrapped up with 108 players on the nose. Ironically, people baffle me. You know, we've gotten probably 8 to 10 people who, you know, hey, can we still get in? When we originally shut it down, we were like, you know, hey, we're 11 teams. That's a healthy number. We're okay with that. And our wait list jumped up 9 immediately, you know, the day after. So we said, wait a minute. You know, we were able to call, you know, our good friends over at the Carolina Drip Shop. Going to give them a shout out, Arell and Chenard, for taking care of our uniforms for this year again. We called them up, said, hey, is there a possibility for us to be able to get the 12th set made in time? And, you know, they were great to work with. They got that taken care of for us. So we're able to add a 12th team and get to 108. We've still got a little bit of a wait list. I believe the last captain will be announced tomorrow. Krista does a really great job at getting all that out and getting it out in a timely time to keep things hype and keep things people excited and keep people engaged. But this is, man, this is my favorite time of year. This is my favorite tournament. You know, I think this year is going to be, it's going to be just as fun as last year. The difference is last year we had a bunch of seasoned vets playing. This year we have, I would say probably 45% of the board is new players that we haven't seen before.
I'm gonna take you on 60, Jacob.
There's a lot of new players. So I'm actually pretty excited to see how this works and how some of these vets, we have some new captains too. So we don't know how people are going to pick. You know, you start to see a trend with some of the usual suspects who sign up and how they want to pick their teams and stuff. And a lot of people, it's nice to see that they don't play buddy ball anymore. Some of the other captains, we've seen that in the past where, you know, they try to pick who they're comfortable with, versus, you know, getting out of their comfort zone and picking somebody that they normally wouldn't pick. But it's going to be a good time, man. I'm really excited. While I'm giving people shout outs, I want to shout out Dave Rosenberg over at Shrooms, and Dave Berg with Shrooms for taking care of us. They've got the first and last pick flags. They got the champions flags. We got, the win, some pretty cool prizes, as well involved. And I'm not going to say what they are because it hadn't been released yet, but some pretty dope stuff. But yeah, man, it's going to be a good time. I'm really excited for this tournament.
So Jacob, I heard that Chad Beck's called Pat personally, and he's going to bring Pat out of his seventh retirement for this draft tournament. Is that true?
I mean, you know, I wouldn't put it past him, but if Pat wants to do that, he's going to get put on the wait list.
I'm going to tell y'all right now, you know, hail to the no.
Nah, it's going to be a pretty good day. It's always fun to see because I think he won the last one. He's won three. He's going for a second three-peat. So he's won three. We'll see what he can do. It's fun to watch him pick and who he ends up with.
So is there plans in the future to try to pull off a women's draft tournament in Camel City?
A what? Say that again. A women's?
A women's, yeah.
It's damn impossible.
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I definitely don't think Krista would be opposed to it. We tried this a couple of years ago. We partnered with Crown Town Flag Football in Charlotte. And the interest just wasn't there. We didn't get many to sign up. Ironically enough, a few years ago, we've had a woman sign up, and she balled out. She
number one draft pick.
Huh?
She was the number one draft pick.
She went number one. She went number three.
Oh, did she? Oh, okay.
Yeah, she went number three. Yeah, she, but she, I mean, she's a great ball player. She's a very smart route runner. She's quick. She's got good hands. But she, you know, she played in the men's league, and you know, they treated her with respect, but they treated her accordingly.
Yeah, I remember Frenchie popped her.
Yeah, man, he felt so bad for that too. But yeah, I would love to do it. We just got to have the participation.
So I did when I was in Colorado, and I had my own little charity organization that I was running. Because we were mentoring teenagers, when I would have draft tournaments, what I would do is I would have a quarterback be the captain, just to make it easy. Every team has a quarterback, and then the two of the next four picks, one had to be a guy over 30 years old, so an old guy, and one had to be a kid under 18. And then from there,
it's a fair game.
You know, and then after that, yeah, you pick who you want. So it gave an opportunity for us to be able to get, you know, get the teenagers involved. It was funny though, because as we had players, you know, every month we would do tournaments. So as we had returning players, they started to understand which teenagers actually knew how to play football and knew how to ball out. And the teenagers started to get picked first. And, you know, we would see, repeat champs. So that was a little twist on how we did a draft tournament in Colorado.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know.
Sound like a little dictatorship to me, buddy.
Oh, first of all, there's more than one way to skin a cat. perfectly okay to do it however you need to do it.
I ain't eating no cat, so I ain't skinning one.
We're not always eating cat, weirdo. It's a phrase.
Hey, you know what, Pat? Why don't you go ahead and pound sand or whatever that is?
There's one more. Yeah, it's more than one way to cook a chicken. That's what we might want to say.
There you go. You can see that. It's the same thing. Made of potatoes. Same thing.
Hey, so Lance, I just want to hear about what's going on in the Bay Area recently. What's new? What's popping? What new jersey are we going to see refs wearing this week?
Dang. Hey,
well, I don't know. I don't have control of that. So, let's see. This weekend, actually, Dula's got a fundraising tournament. Actually, Saturday for both men's and women's. It's basically – basically, what he did was he put together a women's travel team, so he's trying to fundraise for that. We just finished up Saturday League, and then we've got Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights going right now. So pretty busy weeks, pretty busy nights that we have going out here in the Bay Area. So keeps me fairly moving. So it's all fun.
Nice.
Keep some living. All right, cool. Yeah, two in the back.
Yeah. all right, so let's get down to it at the end. I just want to give you guys a chance to share some final thoughts. Petty Pat, start us off. Floor is yours.
All right, so all I got going for before the draft, I got to warm up with Body Armor up in Charlotte. That tournament is going to be fairly quick. Smooth or whatever it is, but I'm looking forward to the draft tournament. I ain't gonna lie to you, it'll be the first year I haven't played in the draft tournament since 2019, and as an official, it's gonna be great to be able to be an old head now and actually see the new product that's gonna be out there. And that's really it, man. I mean, I look forward to it. Like how Jacob said, every year we look forward to the draft tournament because it's different. Nobody does the draft tournament, and I'm going to stand 10 toes down on this. Nobody in the United States does the draft tournament like Camel City. I don't give a fuck who you are, how you take it. I don't care. If we don't need all quarterbacks in the first round. Everybody don't need a quarterback. It's all about GM skills. That's why you a captain. So if you can't draft a team, you shouldn't play football. You should be a cheerleader. And that's all I got to say, because Stone Cold Pat's here, so.
God.
All right, Lance. I know you've seen plenty of dual draft tournaments, and you could probably disagree with all that Stone Cold Pat was saying, but any final thoughts for us, Lance?
I've never participated, so it's hard for me to compare. I think, so, you know, I'm not lying. You probably have it great, but I just can't compare because I've not participated yet. There's a yet in there, Jacob. Maybe you one of these days. I don't know.
Come on, man. Don't play.
No, hey, Lance, don't play. Don't take it. Come officiate.
No, I didn't do say not play. I said, I'll work it. I would work
you
it.
You can work it by all means.
Final thoughts. I mean, I think this is the next 2 weekends are actually a nice weekend for me because I'm not traveling, and then in July I will be nowhere near home every weekend. So, just some final thoughts. I mean, just keep balling. Like, just play the game. Don't worry about it, all the external shit. To kind of what we talked about. If you're a coach, be a coach. Don't be a whiner. Just be a coach. Mm-hmm. If you're a parent. If you're a parent to a youth player, be a parent. Be supportive. Don't worry about what the refs say. Do you yell at the refs consistently like that on TV when you see their screwing up and we see it? Like, I can see. I'm like, that's a bad call. But I don't yell and scream. Don't. Just be, be a parent. So that's just – those are my couple final thoughts.
Nice. Jacob, what you got?
Man, kind of want to echo, a little bit of what both guys said. I talked at the beginning, kind of got on my high horse a little bit about youth and, about how you know how toxic it can be because of the outside noise. And you know, I was thinking about it just a minute ago using the Dollar General joke, but you know, it all walks of life, you know, I use that kind of just to say, like, you know, somebody's, you know, that's where they made it versus, you know, making it in the NFL. But my thought would be like, you just let the kids play, let the kids learn, let the kids grow, try to let the kids, you know, figure things out on their own, and play a game that we love as adults. Let them get the same passion and love for it that we have. You know, and kind of, and to Pat's point, man, I'm super excited about this draft tournament in a couple of weeks. I got a couple of weeks off of football, which I'm, you know, it's kind of nice just to reset, recharge, get my mental game back, because it's been a pretty consistent road these last few weeks. But I am looking forward to the draft. It gets away from the normal. Makes it fun. It gives somebody, you know, builds a little bit more camaraderie in the community. And there are things, you know, the way we do things that I love and I think are great. There's things that Dula does out West that I would love to do, you know, the way he does things. So there's always things to grow from. There's always things that can be done differently. There's more than one way to skin a chicken, like Pat said. But no, man, that's kind of it for me.
Oh, cool. I mean, I think that, you know, the future is bright for flag football. Everybody's looking towards the Olympics and, you know, all of that stuff. And I'm sure the closer we get to 2028, the more we'll be talking about the involvement of NFL players and next NFL players and all of that. It's interesting to see how passing leagues are now blowing up, and that's not flag, but you know, is that where young men are going to get drawn into and they're going to get pulled in that direction? You know, and then flag is truly going to become more of a women's sport. You know, who knows? But it's exciting to see. It's exciting to be a part of. I'm excited for Nashville. Just watching clips and highlight films and stuff from San Antonio, seeing, you know, YTG and the Bears. You know, I'm hopeful that is another rematch that we get to see in Nashville, along with teams just coming from all over. You know, I've just been hearing a lot of buzz about Nashville, so I'm excited about that. I'm excited to be out on the East Coast and just kind of give me and my family a fresh start, new beginning, and you know, that's a beautiful thing. So outside of that, you know, I appreciate you guys joining us tonight. You know, please like, subscribe, follow. We are on YouTube, we are on Spotify, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. We are all over the place, but you won't see us if you don't follow us. So you got to start there. And so when you watch something, watch it a few times. It's no big deal. Just listen to it a couple times, you know, and share it with your friends, you know. So, you know, we have fun doing this. I appreciate people come, you know, officials being able to come from all over the country. If there's an official you want to see on this show, reach out to us. Tell us why they should be on this show and why, you know, why their opinion matters and what they have to share with us. I'd love to hear it. So please give us feedback. We definitely want that. So that's it for tonight. Thank y'all.